I hope you've had a good day and we've enjoyed some nicer weather, and it's good to be back this evening to worship God in songs, hymns, prayers, study of His Word. And it's good to be able to come together with brethren again. Recently, one of the elders asked me to present a lesson on dancing. And so this evening, we are going to consider that topic. And when that was requested of me recently, I met with all of the elders and talked with them about that. And they wanted me to present that material. And that is actually a subject that Bob and Clarence had talked with me about even before even coming here. So it's something that is on their minds, and I'm glad to do my part in bringing that material to you. If you'll consider with me this evening the scripture reading that we just had in Galatians chapter 5, I wanted to look at something before we proceed that I believe is very important. When you look at the subject of dancing, there are some subjects like that that are not specifically addressed in Scripture. And so there's a difference among brethren about those things. And I wanted you to notice in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, after Paul lists several works of the flesh, he says, "and such like." I want you to notice that, "and such like." Paul is intending there to say that there are other things like these things. There are other things out there in the world that will keep a person out of the kingdom of heaven that aren't specifically mentioned in Scripture, but they're like these things. And as we're going to see this evening, that dancing has a component to it. And we're talking about the modern dance between a male and a female. We will define that more later. It has a component to it that involves at least one of the things that is listed here in this list. My point is simply that people will say, well, dancing is not strictly forbidden in Scripture. Well, neither is abortion. Neither is pornography. There are different things that are wrong, but they aren't specifically condemned in Scripture. But principles and words and statements that are in Scripture would denounce those things. And so this evening, I believe dancing falls into that category, as we're going to see later in the lesson. So, "and such like." The Bible is not intended to be a complete exhaustive list of everything that's wrong. You can see a couple of problems with that. Number one, the Bible would be so big that you couldn't even carry it. And number two, the Bible would be listing things in some cases that hadn't even happened yet in humanity, because God's going to list everything that could possibly be done until Jesus comes again. You would have a list of stuff that people aren't even doing, but maybe one day they might be doing. So God chose to list some specific things in the Word of God that are wrong, and then say things like Galatians 5, "and such like." There are other things like this that are going to be condemned. And that's how God chose to handle that. And God wants us to be wise and mature and take biblical principles and apply them to modern things that go on, such as abortion and pornography and dancing and other kinds. Gambling is another one. Those types of things. So I would say that at the very beginning. I would say that dancing is probably one of the more popular things in culture today, whether it's a very primitive moving around all the way up to the highly artistic Dancing with the Stars and everything in between. So our young people and old alike, we wonder, is that something that a Christian should be doing or can be doing? And so we want to consider that this evening in light of God's Word, whether or not a Christian can participate in such things. Of course, we always want to go by God's Word and never by what our culture is saying. Now, I understand the nature of the topic. And let me say at the very beginning, especially to our young people, I am not here this evening to take fun out of your lives. I'm not here to try to keep you from having fun. I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy your youth. Ecclesiastes 11, the last part of it, talks about enjoying youth. I want you to do that. I'm not here tonight or in any other lesson to try to take fun away from you. What I am here this evening to do with God's Word is to consider that when you're talking about the modern dance, it definitely has a component to it that would put you in a position of violating the Word of God. And that is a very serious thing. So that's what I'm here to do this evening, to keep all of us from engaging in sin. I'm not trying to keep anybody from having fun. I'm trying to keep us from not sinning. So I just wanted to say that as well as a beginning point. I've already made the point in Galatians chapter 5 that we have this phrase, and such like. God's Word directs, I believe, every aspect of our life. Sometimes it's specific things that are mentioned. Sometimes it's general statements that are mentioned. And we're going to see some general statements this evening that would be violated by the modern dance. We're going to see a particular word in Galatians 5 and 19 that's violated by the modern dance. But my point with this is that God can address things, even modern types of things, with different kinds of principles. And He also is interested in the social and recreational and the entertainment aspect of our life, and He wants that to be governed just as much as what we might call our church life or our school life or whatever. Entertainment, recreation, and social activities, that comes under the purview of God's Word just as much as any other area of our life. Also, it's good to notice this evening that what we're talking about is not just simply moving around. Moving around technically can be classified as dancing. But we're talking about a particular kind of dance that a person engages in where thoughts and feelings are generated and stirred up of a sexual nature. We're not just simply talking about moving around. You know, you can have a football team, they score a touchdown and the guys are jumping up and down. Technically, that's dancing, you know. Some of these March Madness teams where my bracket was completely blown yesterday. It must be the year of the underdog. All of my picks are gone. But these teams that win at the last second and they're jumping up and down and having a good time, that's technically dancing. But what we're talking about is not just simply moving around or even jumping up and down or something like that. We're talking about a male and a female having body contact that generates thoughts and feelings. And those thoughts and feelings, if they are improper, then they're sinful. There's just no way around that. And that's what I want to keep us from engaging in. Probably, I don't know, maybe 25 years ago or so, maybe not quite that long, a little over 20 years ago, I heard a preacher present a lesson on dancing, and I'd heard different lessons on dancing growing up, and he had good material. But what was different about this particular occasion was the preacher who was preaching the lesson was a former dance instructor. He, in his former life, had taught dancing. He had danced quite a bit. You might describe him, or he was described in the day, as tall, dark, and handsome. He enjoyed dancing, and he was teaching lessons on that. And he left that. He came out of that. He stopped that. That was something that he had done in the earlier part of his life. And when he was presenting that lesson, he was making the point from someone who had engaged in it himself personally on a regular basis. He talked about the thoughts and the feelings, the lust, and that type of thing that comes up when you're dancing close with somebody of the opposite sex. He was speaking from personal experience. It wasn't just someone who was giving some Bible principles, which that alone should convince us, but he was also speaking from personal experience. And he was making the point that the problem with it is not just simply what we view as sort of this outward situation. That's kind of how we judge it. It's fun. It's entertaining. I'm just there to have some fun. He said, we've got to be honest about what actually goes on. And it's the thoughts and the feelings that are the problem. And we want to consider that and keep that in mind this evening. I don't have personal experience with it like he does, but I appreciated him sharing that particular point. And along those lines, that's what we're talking about this evening. We're talking about a dance between a male and female where it would stimulate a person to think or act in a certain way. Because of the sight, what I'm seeing in my partner and touching them, those things, if we'll be honest with the complete situation, that is a part of the equation that we have to consider. God makes the body to be touched and to be near in a marriage relationship, but not outside that relationship. And we need to keep that in mind. There's always going to be different forms, and not all forms of dancing lead to problems. Skipping and leaping and the football player jumping up and down in the end zone, there's nothing wrong with that. Lively movements, bobbing up and down or whatever somebody might do, that's not a problem, but that's not what we're talking about when we talk about a young person or an older person going to a dance. We're talking about something different than that. So we want to define what we mean, what is a problem and what is not a problem. Just simply moving around is not a problem. But that's not what we're going to be talking about when we talk about anything that involves sin. We're talking about something else. And I know that in our culture, I've been there. I was in high school. I've been there. I know the different pressures that are involved with this particular subject. Also the subject of alcohol, other subjects. There is a pressure. My friends are doing it. But I want us to consider this evening the dangers of it. And so our young people are going to be introduced to it. In the school situation, there's often different school functions that have dances. The school dance team, maybe lessons are offered, that type of thing. And our young people are introduced to it and they wonder, is this something as a Christian that I should do or not do? So let's examine this evening some principles that will help us to answer this question. Again, I'm not here this evening to take away your fun. I'm here to simply look at biblical principles and apply it to what is taking place in the modern dance. First of all, let's look at dancing in the Bible. If you remember, there are different places that you might remember where there are some individuals that are mentioned as dancing. So let's start with that this evening. And what we want to do this evening is see that dancing is actually mentioned in the Word of God. But what we want to ask each time is a very important question. And that is, what we're reading in the Bible, does that match up with what we're talking about with the modern dance? And we're going to see that often the answer is no. What we're reading in the Bible is something completely different. So let's take a look at it. First of all, we find where there's dancing as a part of amusement or fun. Just somebody having a good time. But turn with me to Job chapter 21. Verses 11 and 12. This is very important. We can't just simply say, well, there's dancing in the Bible, so we can dance today. The problem with that approach is it is not apples to apples, so to speak. It's apples to oranges. We're comparing something that goes on today between a male and a female where there is touching and there's close contact. We're talking about something with that that is different than what we're reading in the Bible. And here's an example. In Job 21, we read about dancing, but who is it? Well, it's the wicked man and his family and so forth. And Job is talking about how that the wicked man is prosperous. Verse 11, they send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the pipe. So, well, there's dancing in the Bible, but who is this? This is little children who are dancing. This is not the modern dance that we're talking about. The same thing that we find in Matthew chapter 11 and Luke chapter 7, Jesus talks about how that he was rejected by the scribes and Pharisees, and he gives this example of where the children say one to another, "We piped, but you didn't dance." It's children having fun with other children, but that's not what we're talking about with regard to the modern dance that would lead to the lust of the eye or the lust of the flesh. But there is that type of dance mentioned in Scripture. A second area where there is dancing is where somebody's happy and they're moving in some way because they're happy, they're rejoicing. They're jumping up and down, or they're moving in some kind of way. We're not given the details of it. And you might be thinking, well, maybe that would get kind of close to the modern day dance. But in fact, that's not the case. Do you remember in Judges chapter 11? Turn with me there. Who came out to meet Jephthah? Who came out dancing to meet Jephthah in Judges chapter 11 and verse 34? Well, it was his daughter. So you have one female dancing. That doesn't match with the modern day situation. Turn over to Judges chapter 21, where the Benjamite men were looking for wives and they needed wives. And it said that they found them among the women that were dancing at Shiloh. They're having a celebration, but it's women with women. Again, that's not the modern day situation that we're talking about. Often what you find in the Bible is one individual dancing, or if it's a group, it's of the same sex. It's women doing something, or men doing something. We'll see that in a minute. Do you remember, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. After David killed Goliath, it said that the women came out and they were singing and dancing, and they sang about how that David had slain his 10,000. Well, it's a group of women. There's no mixed company here where there's the danger of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and thinking sexual thoughts about the opposite sex. That's not what's happening. It's a group of women who are dancing and singing. In the book of Psalms, you find some, "He's turned my mourning into dancing." And that's all that's said. You cannot determine anything from that there is a mixed company or any type of improper behavior going on. You just don't find that. The same thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. Dancing is set in opposition to mourning. So there's a time for mourning and then there's a time for dancing, like the idea of rejoicing or celebration. But again, there's nothing said there about, again, mixed company or that which would fit the modern day situation. In all these other passages, you find that same thing. You're probably familiar with Luke chapter 15 and verse 25, when the prodigal son comes home and his father has made a party there for him. The father's excited that he's come back, and it's said that you could hear music and dancing going on. But again, that's all that is said. There's no more information that is given about that, and we need to be careful not to conclude or read more into that than is there. The point in mentioning this is that people moved their body in such a way when they were happy about something. But that does not match the modern day situation, as we'll see more as the lesson unfolds. So these are two types of categories, I guess, if you want to put it that way, of examples of dancing in the Bible. Here's the third one. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, there are a few examples in the Bible where there appears to be dancing in relationship to praising God. And I put the word worship here. What I meant by that was just there is some praise to God going on. And you remember after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea that Miriam, and again, notice in your Bible, Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And they were singing about how that the Lord led them across the Red Sea. We saw this earlier with the women at Shiloh in the book of Judges. It's not mixed company where there is body movements going on that attract the opposite sex. That's not what's happening. And number two, it's in praise to God. A second example of this is David. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. You remember when the Ark of the Covenant was coming back into Jerusalem. It had been gone among the Philistines. Now it is coming back. And there's that whole matter of them in an unauthorized way transporting it on the cart, and then Uzzah touching it. There's all of that. But look at verse 16. When they get it back into Jerusalem, it was so that as the Ark of Jehovah came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out at the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Jehovah, and she despised him in her heart. Notice that he's by himself. Again, this is not mixed company. So if we talk about, well, there's dancing in the Bible, so I can do it today, we're not comparing apples to apples. What's going on today is something different. The parallel account is 1 Chronicles 15. And then turn with me to Psalm 149. There's a couple of places in the book of Psalms. And, you know, the book of Psalms is interesting. A lot of people, a lot of denominations and churches and groups go back to the book of Psalms to get instrumental music. And I've always found it interesting, and even some brethren, and I've always found it interesting that in some of these places where there's instrumental music, there's also dancing. So if we're going to get one, we need to get both. But let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. Again, we don't even know the whole details of that, but if there were individual Israelites, again, this is the Old Testament, this is not the New Covenant, if they were dancing in praise to God along with these instruments, that is something that is being advocated here, and we find it in 150 and verse 4. But is that what's going on today? Well, of course not. The modern day dance, be it at school or a dance club or a college party or whatever, it's obviously not in worship to God. Turn with me to Exodus 32. The one place in the Bible where we have dancing that would actually come closer to what goes on in a modern day setting is actually mentioned in Exodus 32, and it's mentioned in a negative light. So to put it another way, what we've seen thus far, if dancing was put in any kind of positive light, it was always women with women or one individual or something like that in worship to God, if it's put in a positive light. One time in the Old Testament where it's put in a negative light, I say one, over in 1 Samuel is another example of men in an army, the Amalekites in an army, they're dancing over the spoil that they've gotten. But one clear example where it is clearly rebuked would be the matter of the golden calf. You remember when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, verse 17, there is noise in the camp. So look at Exodus 32, verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Well, what were they doing? Look at verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he had come nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses angered, waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them. This is men and women. And this is put in a negative light, even in 1 Corinthians 10, that Paul says, don't do this kind of behavior that we see back here in Exodus 32. And then you'll notice in verse 25, when Moses saw the people were broken loose, for Aaron had let them loose for a derision among their enemies. This is important to factor in because the word here means to cut loose, to not be restrained. This was dancing and drinking along with idolatry. It is reveling. It is ungodly behavior. It is that which is out of control. Some of the newer versions say when Moses saw that the people were out of control. It's interesting that the King James says the people were naked. That's kind of interesting. They saw that as not controlling
the clothing on the body, but out of control.
And notice that the dancing of verse 19 is put in a negative light. So this actually would get close to what goes on today with regard to males and females together moving and touching and doing other things in a way that is generating lust, thoughts, ideas that are improper. And then last of all, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. There's two passages here. They're both parallel with regard to the beheading of John the Baptist. Mark chapter 6. There is a dancing that is a form of enticement. And this also would be similar to what is going on today. In Mark chapter 6, Herodias does not like the fact that John the Baptist has been rebuking her marriage to Herod. He doesn't like that. So instead of changing and obeying the word of God, she finds it easier to get rid of the preacher. So she has him beheaded. But what's the backstory to that? Well, verse 21, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords and the high captains and the chief men of Galilee, and when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and them that sat at meat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it unto thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee up to half of my kingdom." What got him to the point of not... Who in their right mind would say, you can have half my kingdom? Where's that coming from? It's coming from a mind that has been... The ability to think clearly and soberly and make good judgments, it has been clouded. That's why you would make a statement like that. You can have up to half of my kingdom. In a sober-minded person, they would not ever offer that. Well, what got him to where he was not sober-minded? He's watching her dance. And he is mesmerized by that. He's enticed by that. In your Bible, when it says she pleased him, does that mean he was sitting there? Wow, that girl has good form. I've been to dance class, and she's moving her left foot right when she needs... Man, that's impressive. Is that what was pleasing him, or was he pleasing the way she was moving her body? I think we all know the answer to that. He wasn't pleased in her athletic ability. He wasn't pleased in her ability to move left when she's supposed to move left and move right, and she's got two steps forward. Boy, she's got all of that figured out. She never skipped... No, we know what that is. It's a man looking at a woman dancing and being enticed by that. Why do we even have clubs that do that today? Just to be frank about it. Because that's the purpose of it. The men that go there, they're not sitting there going, wow, that person up there is athletic and they've gone to school and they've really done their homework. Is that what the men are thinking? We know that that's not what they're thinking. So what it does is, it's a situation, and I'm trying to be delicate. I'm mindful of our audience. But I'm also trying to be plain about what actually goes on. Because when I talk about this sometimes with brethren, they report what goes on, but in all honesty, they don't report the full picture. They talk about fun and entertainment, and there's chaperones there, and there's this, and there's that. But that's not what fully goes on in the mind of the male and the female. And we just need to be honest about that. So here's a great example of how a person's control is eroded, if you will.
And he ends up saying, I'll give you whatever you want up to half of my kingdom.
Dancing is just like alcohol in this regard. Alcohol is a physical substance that goes into your bloodstream, and after it's been in your bloodstream a while, it actually is a suppressant. It lowers your ability to think clearly. It dulls your thinking. That's why we have what's called DUI.
People have a slower reaction time. They don't think critically. They don't think carefully. It literally, it's a suppressant. It suppresses the mind and the brain. Dancing does the same thing, except it's not a liquid that's inside of us. It is the touching and the looking and the music, and sometimes the music is even encouraging it. They use songs that have lyrics that encourage it. It's lowering the ability of the individual to think clearly and make good, positive judgments. In other words, you just sort of go with the moment, and then that leads to other problems.
So we've got to be very careful about that. I ran across this in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia that I wanted to share with you, that's very important, because somebody says, well, there's dancing in the Bible, so I can dance today. This particular article talking about that's supposed to be dancing, I'm sorry, dancing in the Bible was, and here's the quote, quote, dancing solo, that is a person by themselves, or men with men, that was 1 Samuel 30, I didn't read that one, but the Amalekite army, or women with women, we did read a couple of examples of that, but social dancing by men and women together in our modern fashion was unknown in the Bible. We just need to understand that. What we've seen in the Bible is not what we're talking about today. So, with regard to the modern dance, these are possible, and I would say highly probable, activities associated. I can't read what's in everybody's mind, and you cannot either. I don't pretend. But just simply going by human nature and what we understand of the modern dance and what we get from people like this preacher who actually engaged in that kind of thing and gave his testimony to it, this is going to be something that is a part of it. Number one, impure thoughts, desires, and looks. I don't have the quotes with me this evening. I wouldn't have time to read them. But even people out in the world have made the comments before in various journals, various kinds of media. They've made the point. This is not members of the church. This is not a Church of Christ preacher that one might think is already skewed against the idea. It's just people out in the world, they make the point over and over again that what the male and female are doing together in a vertical way, they're hoping at some point they can do in a horizontal way. That's just them talking, that's not me. And you're basically setting yourself up for a situation where it leads to these impure thoughts, desires, and looks. Intimate physical contact. There is touching that goes on, and there is a response to that touching in the human body and in the mind. Improper body movements. There are body movements that are made to attract the opposite sex. Look at this part of my body right now. The part of my body that's moving, I want you to look at that. And we should never have that approach toward the human body. There is contact that is to be in marriage. There are looks that are to be in marriage. But these things are not to be outside of marriage. But yet, dancing, the modern dance, engenders these things. Sometimes immodest clothing is worn, depending upon the occasion. And then later, of course, this would be not allowed at some of the high schools around here, but later, if we have gotten accustomed to what might take place at a high school,
Wouldn't we want to try that later when we get to college? And when you try it at college, there's no chaperones around. The principal's not standing right there. It's a free-for-all when you get into the college dance, as I'm told. I've never done that. And then later, the dance club and that type of thing. So what we start off doing, where a parent or somebody else might say, well, it's very controlled, the music's controlled, the environment's controlled, there's not a lot going on. That may be true. But those types of things, you graduate from that, literally, you graduate from that, and when you do that in a college setting, it is much more worldly. Or later, in a nightclub setting. So we have to think about that. Let's close this evening with some biblical principles related to the modern dance. And when I keep saying the modern dance, I mean a male and a female holding each other, touching each other in a way to music and moving, that type of thing. It could destroy our godly example. We're to be lights in the world. We're to be a light to others, an influence. And we're basically saying, if we're not careful, we're saying, my body is open to your thoughts before marriage. And that's not a good example to set. It may destroy respect. Whereas we were guarding ourselves, Paul says with regard to young men and how they're to treat young women, it says you're to treat them as a sister, and you're to treat the young men as a brother or sister. Those brothers and sisters in a family have noble thoughts about each other. There's nothing impure there. But in the modern dance, you're not thinking about the girl like a sister. You're thinking about her in a different way, and vice versa with the boy. It could destroy our spirituality. And I use Herod again there. It lowers our ability to think about pure spiritual things. We start thinking more worldly in nature. We're thinking what we're seeing through the eye. He saw her, and what he saw physically pleased him. We'll always see things physically, but the way we think spiritually needs to control that. And the modern dance removes that while we're out there doing that. That's not on our mind about how can I praise God while I'm out here on the dance floor? How can I be a wholesome Christian? We're not thinking those kinds of thoughts. We're thinking other kinds of thoughts. It promotes lustful thoughts. And Jesus said that a man who looks upon a woman to lust has committed adultery already in his heart. Philippians 4 and verse 8, we're to think about things that are pure. We're to flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. And we're putting ourselves in a situation, and again, it's not just simply a boy and a girl standing there. We're talking about the combination of things. What you see, what you hear, when you're holding them, when you're touching them, it adds up to this very possible situation of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And it's just not worth it for that particular activity. There's plenty of other activities that we can find in the world that are fun and entertaining and wholesome. Turn back with me now to Galatians chapter 5. I wanted to be even more specific here. The word lasciviousness in Galatians chapter 5 is very important. I think EJ's version said lewdness. Some of the other versions say licentiousness. The word license is at the beginning of that word, where you feel like you have license to do this or that, that God doesn't give you the license to do that, but you feel like you can do that. The older versions have the word lasciviousness, which we don't use a whole lot in our English language. It's the Greek word asogeia, which means and includes indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. The word unchaste there means impure. It's not pure. Males and females can touch themselves in a way, and others in a way, that is unchaste.
that is impure. What is that? Something outside of marriage. Those things are to be kept in marriage. But when we take it outside of marriage, it is indecent. It's unchaste. And we shouldn't be touching in that kind of way. And then indecent bodily movements. Well, what kind of bodily movements would that be? Just common sense. What would that be? It's not just walking. That's not indecent. It's not sitting down. We know what that would be. And that is often a part of the modern dance. You're trying to attract your partner's eye to look at you in a certain part of you and in a way that is being done. And that's lascivious. So yes, it is addressed in the Word of God. You don't have to have a spelled out statement. Thou shalt not commit abortion. Thou shalt not look at pornography. Thou shalt not dance. You don't have to have that for it to be wrong. There are biblical principles that teach us these things are wrong. And God expects us to understand that. What's interesting, turn with me to Mark chapter 7. What's interesting about lasciviousness, look at what it's grouped with in Mark chapter 7. And when you put these three words together, you basically have the modern dance. In Mark chapter 7, what comes out of the heart, Jesus said, evil thoughts. Look at that. Evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil eye. Look at those three things. Evil thoughts, lasciviousness, and an evil eye. What you're thinking, what you're looking at, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males. Can you get any closer to the modern day dance without the music? Jesus didn't mention music there. But just about every element is touched on. So we've got to consider those types of things when we consider what we want to do. I want to close with some common statements that are made, and then the lesson will be yours. Sometimes a person says that it's good exercise. There is actually dancing that is used. There are some, exercise groups that use dance. Sometimes it's all women. Sometimes it might be all men, something like that. You've got these spinning classes and yoga and exercise groups that will use dance. It's just good exercise. Well, again, if you were to poll the people when they came off the dance floor and ask them, were you thinking about exercise out there? They're going to say, no, we weren't thinking about exercise. It's fun. I would grant that. But we know that Moses was mindful of those sins in Egypt, and he chose not to engage in those sins for a season. Things can be fun, but it leads to sinful thoughts and behaviors. That's the whole point of the devil using that. It's the popular thing to do. It may be, but we know that the popular thing is what is leading the masses down the road to eternal destruction. We need to be on that narrow road. It helps me develop skill and coordination and poise. Well, we need to be thinking about the inward heart. God looks at our heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. We need to be thinking about not the outward beauty, it's vain, Proverbs 31:30, but the hidden man of the heart, the inner beauty of the woman and of the man. We need to be thinking about our soul, not just about our outward body. But again, if you were to poll people when they came off the dance floor, were y'all thinking about skill and coordination and poise? They would say, no, I wasn't thinking about any of that. It's a good place to meet people and make friends. Maybe. But we're to come out from the world. We need to be meeting people and making friends with other Christians in godly associations. We need to be careful about companionships that will corrupt good morals. We need to come out from anything that is unclean. Keep our eyes set on things that are above. Have a pure and undefiled religion. Meet people, but meet those who are going to help you get to heaven. They will think I'm strange if I don't dance, and that may be the case, but so be it. They're going to think it's strange that we don't do a lot of things that they do. But we're not to love the world nor the things of the world. Hold your head up high. You're a faithful child of God. You're a faithful Christian. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks. Say no on this one and don't worry about it. Just walk away. Don't worry about it. There are plenty of other good things to do. There's all kinds of great things that you can engage in life that are wholesome and fun. We don't have to do this one because of the dangers that goes with it. I can dance without having evil thoughts. Well, first of all, and again, based upon personal experience of this younger man who danced and taught dance lessons, he said, I'm just going to have to be honest with you. What was in my mind from time to time was not good. But let's just say, for sake of illustration, that you can get out there and do that once, twice, more, and you never have an evil thought in your life. Let's just say you can do that. You can't control what the other person is thinking. And we're not allowed to cause them to stumble. Matthew 18:7. We're not allowed to cause other people to stumble. We have to think about them. When Jeff was going through 1 Corinthians, I was amazed in 1 Corinthians 10 of Paul's statement about where he says, not my conscience, but the other person's conscience. And I'm thinking, wow, the Christian really has to live by a different standard from the world. The world just thinks about themselves. Paul said, you need to think about yourself, but you also have to think about the other person and the trouble that you could be causing him or her. That's a higher level. And we do have to think about that, and dancing would certainly be a part of that. You may be able to get out there and do the entire thing without one evil thought. I guess that's possible. But you're not going to be able to control the other person and how they're thinking about you and the way you're moving your body and how they're touching you. And we cannot cause them to stumble. This is very common today. It's my body. This is used for abortion and transgender and a host of other things. My body. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that the body is the Lord's. Now that's an interesting thought. We're thinking, I'm about to step out on this dance floor, and it's what I want and what I feel and what I think and what would make me happy. Whoa, wait a minute. My body belongs to the Lord. Would He want me? Does He want me using it in this way? And Paul goes on to say that the body is not for fornication. That's true also. The dance will be supervised. Well, it doesn't change the thoughts that are in my mind. You can have the principal there. You can have parents there. You can have Mrs. So-and-so there or Coach So-and-so. It doesn't matter who's there. It's what's in my mind that I'm thinking about when I'm touching the person of the opposite sex and the music's going and the lights are turned down low and all of that. You could have 1,000 people supervising. It's not going to change what we're thinking in our heart. And we've got to be careful about that. Not only that, but parents, the high school dance may be supervised, but I'm telling you, the college one isn't. And when our young people, and we say, you know, this is fine and this is good, let's just say, for sake of argument, that the one time in high school, it just didn't cause any problem at all, either way. But if that set my child up to want to do that later in college or later down the road, those are not supervised. Those do have alcohol. Those do have all kinds of other things going on with it. And I personally would not want to throw my child into that type of lion's den. I enjoy the rhythm of the music. I like all kinds of music. Music does have interesting beats and rhythms and those types of things. But as I mentioned earlier, my body needs to be used for the Lord. And it's not about the music. It's about what's going on in my mind and in my thought. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. We need to be thinking much more than just lighting and music and things like that. Churches have dances, and they do. Churches have dances. But people can say, Lord, Lord, and not do what the Lord says. There's all kinds of religions that do all kinds of things, but that doesn't make it right. The Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not dance, and that's true. But I hope this evening that we have shown that it is condemned on other grounds. I'm talking about the modern dance. I'm not talking about any kind of bodily movement that somebody might make. So, as we close this evening, let's be mindful of what the Bible teaches. There is dancing in the Bible, and somebody says, well, there's dancing in the Bible, so I can do it today. There is dancing in the Bible. But it's not the dancing that we're talking about in the modern dance. The Bible condones only a certain type of dance, and that is in the Old Testament, in worship to God. Others are just sort of neutral statements about it. We don't have anything in the New Testament that either generically or specifically authorizes or encourages it. What Bible verse would you use to condone it? What Bible verse would you use to encourage it? That's what you have to ask. Well, parents, let's do our part in teaching these principles. If you want my outline, it's certainly nothing authentic in any way. These points have been made before many years. If you want my outline, you're certainly welcome to it. Let's do our part in raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, at least to let them know about these dangers. Young people, do your part to flee youthful lust. Go away from anything, any activity that definitely has youthful lust directly connected to it. Flee that. Run from that. And, of course, we have elders here who have asked me before to preach on these things. If we will preach and teach and bring these things up, even in our classes and even to our young people, teachers of young children bringing these things up in class from time to time. It's a part of preaching the whole counsel of God to preach on the subject of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. I appreciate your time this evening. We've gone over a little bit, but I appreciate your attention and patience in looking at these particular matters. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment where we invite anyone to respond to the gospel. And the reason we do that is what's important is our soul. There are things and activities in our culture that focus on the outward body. Dancing is one of those things. There's other things. We need to be focused on our soul and make sure it's right with God. That's what is most important. That's what will be in the judgment day, and that's what needs to be right with God. There may be someone this evening that needs to respond to the gospel in baptism or come back to the Lord in some way. We would encourage you to do that. But let's go out thinking this evening. Good thoughts, pure thoughts, and engage in activities only that will do that. We don't want evil thoughts, an evil eye. We don't want touching and moving and that type of thing that is impure. We're only going to engage in that which is pure. And I hope that the material from God's Word this evening will encourage us along those lines. If you have any questions or observations or comments for me afterwards, I would be glad to talk with you about that. And if you're subject in some way and we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?